Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Tuesday. Hope you all had a great holiday weekend. I know I did. And now, lo and behold, here we land on the other side of a Memorial Day weekend, and the Packers have begun OTAs, along with a bunch of other NFL teams. Organized team activities have begun in Green Bay, Wisconsin. The media's first look-in will be tomorrow, and then we'll get another look-in next week. It's basically 10 days that they are allotted. They're allowed to work some team stuff. There is no live. Nothing close to live is allowed during these sessions. They're still in shorts and T-shirts. They're wearing helmets. But, you know, some 7-on-7, 9-on-7, even some 11-on-11 is allowed. But it is all very subdued. No hitting, no live tackling, obviously. But you'll start to get, you know, some insights into possibly who's running with the ones in certain situations, i.e. offensive line, I think is where we'll all be headed. Who's being mixed in rotationally, even with some of the backup stuff. I'm fascinated to see. So who's lining up with the ones as far as a lot of the day three picks on defense and even some of the undrafted guys. This is a time when you can start to get an idea of how the coaching staff views some of those down-the-line draft picks, but even, yes, some of the undrafted guys. Every once in a while, you'll see a guy make a move during these sessions, OTAs, that allow you a little window into what they're thinking. Now, obviously, they have to keep doing it, and they have to do it throughout an offseason. Most importantly, they have to do it once training camp arrives and the pads come on. But like I said, this is kind of our first window into possibly how the coaching staff is viewing certain players. And that all starts tomorrow. No access today. So there's nothing really to talk about from OTAs, but they have begun. The guys are all in the building. They're all working, and we'll have a little bit more to talk about tomorrow, but it's just nice to know we are that one step closer. It's phase three of the offseason. That much closer to getting to training camp and actually having stuff start for real, i.e. actual football. But in the meantime, always good to talk to you fine folks. Hope you all, like I said, had a great weekend. I know I did. And I really hope you had a chance to check out my conversation with Matt Schneidman, posted earlier this afternoon, about his report regarding Jaire Alexander and the Packers offering a restructured contract. I don't think this is wild or unexpected. Feels like it was headed this way for quite some time, but it is some solid actual info that I did get to talk to Matt about. Like I said, really hope you'll check that out. There's still every possibility that Jaire Alexander isn't on this team in 2025. I think this is a step towards attempting to get him back into the fold, but there's every possibility as well that Jaire and his agents look at the restructure offer and say, nope, ain't gonna happen. We ain't playing for nothing other than what we signed for. And then there's a possibility the Packers still move on. So nothing's resolved yet, but we are a step closer to getting any kind of resolution, which is very much appreciated. How y'all doing in the comments section? So good to see everybody. Stu is always here. Ben Arak, how are you, man? Dennis, so good to see you. A stalwart regular. Joe, thanks for the super chat, man. I'm thinking a Jaire restructure would involve converting base salary to incentives based on games played. What say you? Joe, that feels the most obvious direction, right? There's certainly something to the idea of wanting to pay him for his services while he's actually providing said services. Over the course of the last not just two seasons where he's been operating under this new deal, but even prior to that, Jaire staying on the field for a full season has been somewhat of a miracle, let alone playing the majority of the games that he's contracted to play. So I understand possibly his and his representative's point of view that, look, injuries are injuries, right? They're going to happen as part of the game. But certainly when it continues to happen over and over and over again, and you have a guy signed for what is slated to be the third highest cap hit on the team, I understand wanting to make some provisions to make sure he's on the field as much as possible. So yes, Joe, I think that is the most obvious direction, but still a lot of ball game left as far as who knows what the Packers have offered. Matt said in his conversation, he couldn't get the actual details of said offer, which I'm not surprised at. But one would suspect, Joe, that is the thrust, right? We'll see. Maybe there's more reporting added on here as the week continues. I know there's a very good possibility that we have a resolution one way or the other prior to the start of mandatory minicamp on June 10th. Mike Witt, thanks for the super chat, man. Hey, Nags, just got back from seeing AC/DC at Soldier Field Saturday night. As we were walking out, a Green Bay Sucks chant broke out. I just laughed, looked at my wife, and said, "We're in their heads." Yeah, of course, Packers are 100% in their heads. And look, the Bears fans have been emboldened by that victory in Lambeau Field, which I understand. Look, after losing, what, 11 in a row to finally get that victory and in Lambeau, it's a big deal for the Bears. And you're also experiencing Chicago at the height of their kind of powers, right? They are never stronger. Bears fans are never more emboldened than in the middle of the offseason when nothing matters, when wins and losses aren't occurring. They haven't gained a yard. They haven't given up a score. This is their championship window. So, you know, you're going to get the odd Green Bay Sucks chant, no doubt about it, but you're 100% correct. The Packers are forever in their heads because we're better, better organization. That's just history. I got facts to back it up. Look it up yourself if you need to. You know, we're probably always going to be in their heads. That's just the way we roll. It's understandable, essentially. What else we got here? Ryan, thanks for the super chat, man. Are Packers fans getting soft? Nobody wants to go to late season games. Found some cheapish tickets to the Vikings game. I do think there's something to the idea of Packers fans somewhat falling off in their embrace of cold weather games and the playing in the elements and things that, or attending games in the elements. And I don't say that lightly. I do think it's a generational thing. I think the younger generation has not embraced the kind of cold narrative, for lack of a better term, but I don't think it's a mystery because the Packers haven't been that good in the cold. Like, when my generation was growing up, we saw the Packers as invincible in the cold. Brett Favre and his teams never lost in the cold until, you know, Mike Vick showed up there at Lambeau. But that was a, you know, absolute something you could set your watch by. The Packers, November, December, in Lambeau Field, hell, even into January, more often than not, they were going to win those games. So they were fun to attend. Now you get to a generation, and I'm not just saying LaFleur's teams. I mean, some of it happened under Mike's watch too, McCarthy's. Man, these November and December games, you do everything to get there and you're freezing your ass off and the Packers lose. That ain't cool, man. That ain't fun. So now, obviously I could go into a whole thing about, man, the 70s and 80s, we all sat there in the freezing cold knowing they were going to lose, right? It's a very different generation, and it's a very different time in Packers fandom where we've now had generations of fans who've only known two quarterbacks and a lot of winning. But as of recently, you know, sitting in the cold and watching these guys lose, that ain't fun. So that's a long-winded way of saying I'm not surprised. Now, you and I, we are of a different world, a different generation. I love sitting in cold weather games. I've done it plenty of times, win and lose. But yeah, man, I can't say I'm terribly surprised at that development. Lieutenant Dan, Rodgers' old and cold game against the 49ers. There is that part of it. And you saw it with Brett, saw it with Aaron. You get into a deep, old, you know, part of a guy's career. There is certainly a moment where you notice the turn. Old and cold. All of a sudden, the dude who was a young buck and loved embracing the elements and looked completely, you know, vital and revitalized even in the cold elements. Yeah, you get to their late 30s, early 40s, they don't embrace it as much and they don't operate as well. And yeah, it's noticeable. Yeah, you're not wrong. Man, that was a tough game to watch. Portmaster, thanks for the super chat, man. I'm going to meditate until I am able to travel to the astral plane to talk to Ja. I'll let you know what he says. I appreciate you, Portmaster. That was something that I really liked Matt bringing up in our chat. People probably, maybe forget, a couple years ago, Jair didn't show up for any of the offseason stuff, like forego his workout bonus, and then showed up for stuff later that didn't matter and just meditated at Lambeau. Like, he's a different cat, always has been. That's why I really do love him as a player, as a guy. Love his vibe. Hope he sticks around. I know I've been accused of, wishing on his downfall, hoping he's off the team. None of that is true. I 100% hope they are able to keep him in the fold. I got to admit, though, I'm still going to be surprised if he's on the team. Ed, thanks for the super chat, man. You said Mike Vick and a lightning bolt did not smite you. I am shocked. I mean, you got to give Vick his props, man. He came into Lambeau and owned it. Owned the Packers. Absolutely destroyed their home field aura in the playoffs in one fell swoop. You know, so you can't deny it. It's there for history, forever, everyone to see. Oh, Tim, see, this is how you can tell someone is very young. Lions own ya. First of all, I'm not owned by anything or anyone, Tim, other than maybe the whims of my children. But, man, I would encourage you, Tim, to check the all-time record there, buddy. Oh, and particularly the postseason record where you've never beaten the Packers. I'm just saying, we want to talk, you want to play this game, I'm more than happy, dude. But, you know, recent iteration, yeah, you've had some wins, and certainly Campbell seems to have LaFleur's number. No doubt about it. The world stretches past the kind of four-second window that you apparently live in. Just letting you know. Brandy, thanks for the super chat. Favre played through many debilitating injuries with the Packers during his tenure. I say get healthy and go from there. Thoughts? I assume you're talking about Jordan Love, because, I mean, certainly being healthy is going to play a major role in whatever production success Jordan's able to kind of glean this year. But, you know, there's something to be said for always showing up and always being available, even if you are hurting. And sure, there were probably times when Brett was suboptimal because he was playing through injuries, etc. But man, I think your knowledge of the game, your kind of the working that you do with your teammates, knowledge of the game, the offense, what have you, something to be said for that. And I don't ever begrudge a guy, maybe like Jordan last year. We all kind of saw how he came back probably a bit too early, that first Vikings game. But I appreciate that, especially for a guy getting paid what they're getting paid, face of the franchise. You want to be out there. You want to go to battle with your teammates. I'm always with that. I'm always about that. Now, hopefully he doesn't, like, you know, re-injure something or suffer a setback or whatever while he's doing that. Yeah, of course. But I'm never going to, you know, begrudge a guy wanting to play if that's what he gets paid to do. Spoken like a passed over franchise. Tim, they have more championships than anybody else. They've won more games than anybody else. I'll keep educating you if you need me to. I'm here all day. Brett, how are you, man? Is Jaire wanting to be back after all of this a good sign for how he views the defensive coordinator and DB coach? I think there's certainly an element there of truth, right? The fact that he does like the scheme. I think he really likes the coaching staff. There's no doubt that, you know, there has been friction in the past with certain coaches, but yeah, I think there's no doubt that you heard Ainsley talking about, you know, messaging him every morning during the off season. Seems to be a connection there, working out with Xavier McKinney. I think he's always been kind of pointed towards, I would like to come back. I think that it's all about working out the contract, obviously. Soder, Lions let Walter Stanley beat them. Walter Stanley. What a pull. Talk about that's an all-time record for a random Packer. I love it. Last son of Krypton, thanks for being Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you, man. Grew up in Pennsylvania. I worked at Vet Stadium. The game we lost to the Eagles 10-9 in 97 was hard to do my job watching Favre be terrible and Longwell. My God. Man, see, no matter how much I try to put that game out of my mind and out of my consciousness, Packers fans keep bringing it back up. Yeah, that was a rough one, man. There are a couple through that stretch after the Super Bowl victory that are tough to swallow. No doubt about it. Ooh, Rai, great question. Who was the best Packers' best pass rusher in the 80s? That's got to be Bryce Paup. I mean, prior to Reggie's arrival, he was probably one of the best I saw. And man, that's no shade to any of the other guys. I think, you know, Ezra Johnson, you can make a case for a couple other guys, but man, Bryce Paup was the truth. And I always got really upset when I thought about the fact of his not being in a Packers uniform anymore. I loved watching him on the Bills. He was a game wrecker. I loved watching him play. Joey, what's up, man? Would be nice if Packers socials would post OTA. Now, Joey, they don't have access until tomorrow, so let's see. You got to remember, the social team, the Packers digital folks, they get the same access as far as what's allowed and being able to look and post, etc., as the rest of the media. So let's see what they have. Let's see what they have tomorrow. And after that, you can make whatever claims you need to. I'm not expecting a ton, but we'll see. Tim Harris is certainly in the conversation. No question about it. Absolutely demonic the way he would get after quarterbacks. No question about it. What else we got here, folks? Oh, Bryce Hopp was 90. Oh, see, I'm a little too late. So, yeah, I guess you have to go Harris, but, man, I don't know. I don't know, man. Like I said, I love Ezra Johnson. But, yeah, Harris was such a beast. Probably right on that one. Joey, thanks again, man. Is there a reason it's only one day of media access? They do once a week during the OTA sessions, and there are 10 days total. So you get maybe like three throughout OTAs, and then the mandatory minicamp is, I think, open for all 3 days, but it'll probably be 2 days because Matt usually gives them that final day for a team-building activity, mostly because the Packers can. If it's not mandatory, you don't have to allow the media in. So it's a miracle we get anything with the way football, and it is driven by the football side of things, the way they want to operate. Don't ever forget that. It's not Packers digital deciding this. It's not even like Packers marketing or anything like that. It is driven by football. Brandy, thanks again. You think Jenkins will need help in the interior on those double blocking runs up the middle? What can we expect from him playing at center? Need help? Well, I mean, by the nature of what you're talking about, that is, something they being he and whichever guard, whichever side he's going to, they're going to be, in lockstep. And that's a big component of what this whole kind of offseason is about, getting your footwork and timing down before you put the pads on and get to hitting in training camp, and especially preseason, though he probably won't play that much in the preseason. But that's what they're drilling now. That's all you want to see during this kind of stretch of OTAs into minicamp, is how much they can do as far as getting in lockstep on whichever blocking scheme they're running, what their assignments are. Yes, absolutely. On the double teams, who's releasing off the guard into the second level, trying to get that linebacker. What's the timing there? Those are all the things that they're going to be working on in a non-live environment over the course of this next kind of 3-week period. Mike Witt, thanks, man. Two things I'm really looking forward to is seeing how the chemistry between Jordan and Golden is coming along, and how does Marshawn Lloyd look so far? I mean, I'm excited for all of it. I want to make sure, I always reiterate this during OTAs, just make sure you take everything that you read, every headline, every video, everything, take it with a grain of salt, because they aren't going full speed. They don't have pads on. There is no true kind of physical aspect of football being, placed in front of them. It's exciting. I love getting any kind of information about who's working with who, at what level, etc. But, as far as, what's Marshawn Lloyd going to look like? I'm sure he's going to look like, a guy who hasn't played a ton of ball and has some explosiveness and is able to catch it out of the backfield, maybe knows his assignments when it comes to pass pro. But, man, none of that gets put to the test until they're live, until at least they have some pads on, right? Because look, his ability to get on the field is going to be directly tied to his knowledge of protections and his ability in pass pro. And you can't really get a handle on that. Now the pass pro knowledge, yeah, you can get somewhat of an idea, but even then it's not happening live. It's not even up to like half speed. You're certainly going to know where he's stepping as far as, oh, did he pick up this inside backer, etc. But none of it is happening at full speed. None of it is happening in pads. So even if he is a Simon Schur, would he have won that rep? Impossible to say until they get the pads on. Those are the kind of things where I'm always like, we're all excited. Packers are practicing and it's football, kind of. But you can't really get a ton of answers until we get those pads on this summer. Ryan, thanks again, man. I'd never rather snow over soaking rain during a game. The Lions game was torture last year. Yeah, that Lions game looked miserable. Nothing is going to ever be as miserable to my eyes and to anybody I've ever talked to about that game in Chicago. The end of, was it 20? It was late in Favre's tenure. I can't remember exactly sure which year. But all I remember is how miserable Favre looked and the fact that Mike McCarthy kept running like spread wide stuff, like 4 and 5 wide receiver stuff. At Lambeau, probably the most miserable I've ever seen. I thank my lucky stars I wasn't sitting there, was the night they retired Favre's number on Thanksgiving night. And anyone you talk to who was there talks about how absolutely miserable the weather was. I've gathered that the Thursday nighter against Detroit last season was misery. No question. Funko, have you watched The Last of Us? I have. I guess I'll talk about that later this summer too in my nerd chat with you guys. But I'll just say that fine finale, and I'm not going to do no spoilers, nothing, but I will say the finale here, season 2 finale, that was the most video gamey that show has ever felt. And it's not a compliment. That's all I'll say about that. Is Andor part of the nerd chat? Without fail, Andor will probably lead with the headliner of the nerd chat. No question about it. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.